this chapter of Manasseh, verses 1 and 2. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. If you want to do a little trivia, who is the longest king, or which king reigned the longest in the monarchy? There's your answer, Manasseh, 55 years. Who was the second longest reigning king? Uzziah. How many years? 52 years. And it is very significant that Uzziah reigned 52 years. And 52 weeks is in a year. And Isaiah very notably said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It's very interesting when I study it to see how God uses these kings and these years and these numbers. And as wicked as Manasseh was, God allowed him to reign the longest. Evil men last a long time. And other kings died very young. And it's amazing how God gave Israel this man. And that's why we should never complain about wicked men who were in government. And what we're seeing played out in this country right now is sheer wickedness. It is not my field. I wouldn't get into it, but what is playing out now in this country, it's really amazing that how Christians are marginalized and set aside, and evil, it seems as though evil is reigning. And I hope Christians are seeing, because we can't see. But this is the text I want to consider, and I want to speak a little bit about the topic of faithfulness is not always hereditary, or is not hereditary. And you see it here in the life of this king. Usually the reign of the kings begins with a summary. And here in verses 1 and 2, this is the summary. After that opening synopsis, the narrative supplies us with the details of the life of the king or the one in view. But the opening verses provides a summary. If the summary is negative, the rest of the information about the individual will be negative. And so we will be dealing with a negative king this evening. And here's one in Israel. Nothing good is said about Manasseh at all. It is only fitting, after sharing the last time about a good man, a good king, Hezekiah, to show a contrast. It is good to see both sides of men, because in the church you have two kinds of people, and you should always keep that in mind. It is also good for us to be warned not to trifle with grace. If the examples we see from others, the sermons we hear from others, the outward common graces extended to us by the Holy Spirit, if these things could save us, all of us will be saved here. But it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. These things are only as useful as God uses them in our lives. The examples, the common graces, the influences that God brings in, all they don't save us. Only if God used them. And sometimes he's pleased to use these things to save man. Manasseh is the worst king in history and in the history of the monarchy. He surpassed the evil deeds of Ahab. And you know how Ahab was. And Ahab had somebody alongside of him, his wife, pushing him. The sad part about Manasseh is that he began to reign at 12 years old. Children, it meant that he reigned in co-regency with his father. His father named him to be the next king while he was still alive. But he did not execute the office until Hezekiah died, which could have been about 15 or so years later, just like Josiah, something like that. So when you see a king begin to reign at 12, don't think that a little boy sitting on the throne reigning in Jerusalem, he was named king, but he didn't execute. The difference with Jesus now. Jesus was born king of the Jews, of the people of God. He was born a king. But he only began to assume that kingship after the cross. So understand these things when you read your Bible and you study the Bible. The last time we saw four good things about Hezekiah: he removed idolatry, he trusted in his God, he cleaved to the Lord God of his fathers, and he prospered. These are the things that you were supposed to remember. I hope that you remember them. So again, repeating them to me yesterday. As I don't want to hear you now. A week later, you come with these things to me. You know, because you're not choosing like coming again. You know. So, you know, we got all these tricks, you know, children, you know, with their teachers. Nevertheless, like I was saying, it means that he ran with his father. He saw the good things of his father. But Manasseh was unmoved, was unfazed by the good things he saw. Good influences never change the hearts of evil men. You might say, well, I don't want to be an influence then. No. No, you should be an influence. He remained unmoved. Here in 2 Kings chapter 21, we see the opposite. Pastor Jeff Smith, some of you may have been there, and I got the knack about remembering statements that men make. Pastor Jeff Smith said that apostasy is only a generation away. How many of you remember that? You call and say you remember, Marcel. Sometimes I pick these quotes from men, preachers. Pastor Jeff Smith said to the congregation, apostasy is only a generation away. And here is it. If you and I don't set an example, don't be surprised if your church would soon become extinct. Now, I notice carefully some men that I call at times to preach here. And I notice if we set bad examples, don't be surprised if people in our church do not follow our examples that we are setting. I'm very watchful. And I'm very careful of the examples I am seeing before my eyes. Do not follow the bad examples. Just because a man can wield a Bible, it doesn't mean that he's capable of setting right examples. And I say it very cautiously. And you should wise up to what I'm saying. I could speak to my deacons openly, but I would speak to the congregation generally. Congregation would quickly become extinct by the men that are supposed to set example. I'm very concerned about our church and its future. What is here for us this evening? Quickly, Manasseh rebuilt. Remember, we use these short words for Hezekiah, easy words. Well, Manasseh, in contrast, rebuilt. Hezekiah, remove. Manasseh, rebuilt. Verse 3, for he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. Very sad. Rebuilding can be positive, but it also can be negative. Manasseh rebuilt the high places. This means that he undid what his father did, the good things he did. That's what it means. He reintroduced those things that many clamored after. When a servant of God become men pleasers, all the gains of reformation will be lost in a moment. Unfaithful leaders don't care about reformation ideals. They care about making others happy. This is nothing new, by the way. This is what led Aaron to undermine Moses, the people. The people bring it to me, and I make this. That's not true. The Bible says you fashion it. How could Manasseh see the gains that Hezekiah wrought? Who removed? Who trusted? Who cleaved? Who prospered? And yet rebuild the things that were removed? I can just see some things creeping back in here. When I leave, I can just see them. And you should listen to this lesson carefully, because I ponder these things here. Not only me, really, other people. I told you guys that there's a certain church that I respected all the time. I still respect. When a certain man left, you see things creeping in that you never used to see when he was there. The noise in the sanctuary, what could I say? It happens all the time. It's nothing new. Obviously, Manasseh had a majority with him. He could not have done this by himself. The Apostle Paul was amazed to see how quickly the church can rebuild those things that were torn down. Paul said, as a matter of fact, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And sometimes men in their old age, I know a man who was very helpful in St. Lucia in the Reformation process. And for some reason, in his old age, he vacillated. And you know that. It's possible. We always have to have our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Always, until we die. But Nigel, you hear? Me too. I can lead you down a wrong path. My strength is in the Lord, not in knowledge. By him. apostasy is only a generation away. And you and I never know who is in the pews of any given congregation. You see what happened here, that meeting that I had? You see what happened here? Faithful men are hard to find in our generation. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." You may be surprised, brethren, that many people who sit on the sound teaching in their latter days still have elements of charismatic teachings in them. When you get with the charismatic friends, you'll hear it coming out. Or Roman Catholicism. It is sad. Others have maintained that fallacy of Roman Catholicism and superstition. Manasseh rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. You remember there was a man that did the opposite, Brother Othniel? You should know, you're in the book of Judges. You remember Gideon broke down the idolatry of his father when he took over? And people say, "Well, who did this?" I think the wise Solomon said, "Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." The word landmark is in the singular. And the landmark of our fathers are the doctrines of grace. That's what they are. The scriptures. Yes, I said, quickly after the judge Gideon died, the same people who were with him began to worship an ephod that he made. See how quick? Generation after. History repeats itself. Manasseh rebuilt. Rebuilding can be positive, but it can also be negative. And if you and I begin seeking to restore the things we once did in our lives and our church that were biblically corrected, we are rebuilding things also. Point number two, you raise up. Verse 3, part B. You raise up altars of Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Notice that Manasseh had a mentor. Not his father, Jeanette. You see his mentor? And sometimes people sit in pews and their mentor is another pastor that is unfaithful. Ahab was his mentor. He replaced the new with the old. Most likely when men rebuild, they invariably will raise up a replacement. When men take away the word from the church, they will replace it with the world. You don't put a new cloth on an old garment or a new wine in new wineskins. The old man requires a new heart, lest he goes back to his gods. And when one takes away, they will add. There was another king few chapters earlier that had this replacement theology mentality, Ahaz. Remember, Ahaz went to the heathen city of Damascus. When we read in 2 Kings 16, turn back there, 16:10-12. 2 Kings 16:10-12. Come there with me. We read, "And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah, a weak man, a weak priest, He sent the schematic, the fashion of the altar, and the pattern of it according to all the workmanship thereof. Beautiful piece of furniture, but it was heathen altar. And Uriah the priest, and you can always find an influenced man to go along with you, built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent him from Damascus. So Uriah the priest made it against King Ahaz from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereon. No, he was not to offer on this altar, but the bronze altar that God had ordained. King Ahaz displaced the ordained altar with the heathen altar, which became the mainstay in worship. How quickly men can change. People will favor the unholy more than the holy. Manasseh's mentor was not his father, Shem, but Ahab. You know, in our day, ungodly men are more admired than godly men. I have a quote from Mr. Spurgeon in his book, Lecture to My Students, in the bulletin. It's amazing how people go after these people in our day that support every vice that comes down the pike and shun those who support moderation and spirituality. And children, you should pay attention. It says in verse 4, he also built altars in the house of the Lord, which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. You see, you raise up. Whenever men remove, they're invariably going to raise up something else. And when man raises up anything, rest assured it is wrong. Manasseh's actions reveal the defiance of man's wicked heart. Your heart and my heart. You may remember just after Noah's flood, God started over, new. But guess what men did? Genesis 11. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick of stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God came down. This is Babel, Tower of Babel. God came down and confused their language. They couldn't understand one another. Man takes what is intended for good and make it evil. The gospel I'm talking about. Make it evil. Remember Isaiah said, after God brought judgment to Samaria, you know, Samaria was the capital of Israel. They were given to idolatry. And up to the time Jesus came, he was avoiding Samaria. Samaria had their own temple, their own priests. They were apostate. And after God brought judgment on Samaria, Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, verse 9 and 10, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim. Ephraim is another name for Israel, Samaria. All the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build the hewn stone. The sycamore trees are cut down, but we will change them to cedars. This is defiance of wicked men. When he stopped this, we get something better. When the Lord builds, by the way, no man can break down. The Lord said, I will build my church. And we can take comfort in this. So this is my first and second point. Manasseh raised up. First, he rebuilt. Second, he raised up. Manasseh has an unenviable legacy. And that was, he rebuilt that which Hezekiah removed. So here's a third point in this message that we should observe before we close. Manasseh offered religious rituals. He was ritualistic in his worship. Verse 6. Also, he made his son pass through the fire. Practiced soothsaying. Used witchcraft. Consulted spirits and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. By the way, you can read the other account in Chronicles that is very extensive. But I just picked some things out of this Kings that is the shorter version. But this man was a very evil man. What he did was a heathen practice forbidden in the law of God in Leviticus 18:21. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Passing children through the fire was a ritual. It was a sacrifice made by the heathen in an attempt to appease God. And by the way, I think I said this already. Parents have a way of passing their children through the fire. They have a decent way of passing them through the fire. And you should think about what I'm saying. And you know what the fire is synonymous of. And if you don't know, shame on you. You don't pass your children through the fire. You don't provoke your children to wrath. But you bring them up in the fear and the nurture of God. And when you allow them to do what they want, you are passing them through the fire. All of these young people want to learn to drive, but they don't want to come to Sunday school. Parents teaching them at an early age, 16, learn, get a license. Call in. You hear me say it already. By what calling, tell them what they ought to be doing. Don't take just a generation away from apostasy. And you see in it. Serious. He even set a carved image, verse 7, of Ashtoreth. This was another heathen god in Assyria that he had made. In the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. On the outside, these things seem very atrocious. But today many people seek to incorporate culture in worship. Superstition, mystics, oils, icons, candles, instruments of worship. This is what this man did. And some of you might have come out of a culture of rituals and witchcraft. You don't incorporate those things in worship. You dismiss them. You run far from them. There's a lot of that in Zimbabwe. I remember this guy went to South Africa where his son died. brought back some dirt from South Africa in a basket. Come back to America, to Menbury, kill a cow, put a head with the mole, and call the weak starting church that was just being formulated to worship with him. Me and Pastor Soba had to call him out of sight and says, look, you don't do this here. Apparently, Desire, little boy, saw it and came to us with it and tell us. He went to Desire to take off Desire's head. Desire was right. A lot of ritualism still is incorporated in Christian worship in Zimbabwe. And it's a problem that Conrad Mbewe addressed. But Desire and Kusi must address these issues. Polygamy and such the like. But we don't see it as much here, but this is what this man do. It says in verse 8, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they paid no attention. It's the New King James. They paid no attention. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. I'm going to stop here tonight, brethren, because the time is long gone. But I want to close with some quick applications before we pray. And the first one is, as I said, faithfulness is not sustainable. Don't think that if we are a little faithful today, that we will be faithful tomorrow. Neither is godliness hereditary. Don't expect that Christian parents will reproduce Christian children. All we can reproduce are other sinners. Don't expect that future generations will carry on the ideals of truth. If we are in any way double life people, like I see with some, don't expect the gospel to perpetuate in this church. Manasseh had a good example. Don't expect fellow brethren to carry on the principles of the fathers. Just read history. Our hearts must be always tender before God. Our motives must always be pure. Our desires should always be to please God in making these applications. This is what we ought to be here at this church. Manasseh watched his father for many years, but he was unimpressed by Hezekiah's exploits. In fact, he hated them. He hated them. Many people hate the changes, the principles of the Bible that have been restored. They hate them. And they even hate the one that bringing them. He's sad. But that's how it is. He hated his father. Some of us may be unimpressed by the systematic study of the Bible, by the simplicity of worship, by the separation from liberalism. You just saw what happened. We are to be humble. We ought to be thankful. We ought to praise God if we still stand there. Faithfulness is not always sustainable. Second, it is easier to go with the flow. I ain't talking about flow of the telephone company people. It is easier to go with the flow than against the flow. Just go against the flow. Go against the flow and you see. I went to church this morning. I don't have to return this evening. That's the flow. Brother Joe is a good preacher. Why can't he preach sometimes? Yeah, Brother Joe may be a good preacher, but Brother Joe don't know eschatology from geometry. Have you ever checked out Brother Joe carefully? Well, stop talking like that. Don't ask me that why so-and-so don't come anymore. Somebody asked me that some time ago. Just because a man started the church, that don't mean he got to come back to it. You understand what I'm saying, right, Brother Presley? I hope you follow what I'm saying. But lastly, it is the Lord, ultimately, that will keep us faithful. It is the Lord that keeps us faithful. We can't say we keep ourselves. Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. So I've shown you the good king, Hezekiah, but I would not have done my job if I didn't show you the evil king. And this is the nature of the church today. We must keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. And that's the conclusion of the message. May the Lord bless you.